Well, you're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Andy Klein. Unless you're an avid birder like Brenda Wright, you might miss out on some of the special visitors that come to Juno in the summer. That's why we invite her here and share what she's spotting in her binoculars. And Brenda is the programs manager for the Juno Audubon Society. Brenda, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks so much for having me, especially on a nice day.
On a nice day. I know, well, this is taking away from your birding time, but thank you. We really appreciate it. Well, tell me a little bit about, I was just saying that what's happening in my yard right now is the battle of the hummingbirds, and you're saying that that's because they're fledged.
Yes, the juveniles are just now fledged. They can fly backwards, but they don't know what to do with themselves.
Well, that do any of us when we fledge? I mean, right? It makes total sense now that you say that's what's going on, because I didn't know whether it was because, you know, I mean, it just looks like a battle. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that looks like mating stuff too, or you can't quite tell what's going on, but they're flaring out at each other. And
oh yeah, it's just constant and crazy.
Now, is it normal? Every time you come in, I just am selfish. I ask my own questions about what I want to know about. But is it normal that they don't share the feeder?
You know, it's a technique that often birds use against each other. You know, this is the best flower I've ever found. You cannot have it.
Right. So they don't let them. They don't let them at it. Well, I guess that's what's going on. Okay. So tell me a little bit about what you've spotted this week. What have you?
That's one of the things I wanted to talk about when I got to visit here, because we have a way to find out about rare bird visits. It's called a bird alert. And because we have so many visitors from all over the world this time of year, it's really fun to have one of them show up here. And then if somebody actually does a bird list on eBird or another way to tell us what's out there and what they're seeing, we can go look for it too.
That's great. So does that happen?
Yes, indeed. Right now, one of the things that we have here is a Tennessee warbler.
Oh, okay. A Tennessee warbler. Now, mm-hmm. What do they look like?
Well, they're small like a warbler, so they can hide behind a leaf, which is aggravating. But they have a lovely song.
Let's hear it. So we have a recording of it here. This is a Tennessee warbler. If you hear this sound, that's what you're hearing. Is that another one answering there?
Uh-huh,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah, they're just a sweet little sound.
Now, are they from Tennessee, or what's?
Well, you know, the thing is they're across most of North America at higher latitudes, but they don't come along the shore and they don't come this far north. So the thing is like if somebody comes here, it's like, did they get lost, or did they smell something good, or how did they get here? But if everybody's looking and people take pictures, and then we can all compare notes and say, yes, it is a Tennessee warbler, and it's been a long time since we've seen one, and this one's staying. Let's all go look for it.
So have you spotted one or heard one lately, or is this just a hope?
No. Yeah. There's a lot of pictures. It's been reported over a week by many people now. Because when you go on to eBird Alert, it'll tell you what's in your local area.
Okay.
So things that show up, like even a golden eagle, is unusual for us. And if somebody sees one, and then you can go look for it.
I've heard golden eagles can show up in Sheep Creek Valley, especially.
Yes,
yeah.
And sometimes up in the Alpine. Sometimes they see them up on Mount Roberts.
Right. Mm-hmm. So back to the Tennessee warbler, are there spots that are more conducive to places where people are seeing it?
You know,
the
most interesting hot spot for unusual birds this year is the community garden, and that's easy to access.
Wow.
And also the area near the gun range, so don't go there when it's busy.
Right.
Or you might not be able to hear songs.
No, right. Now, so that's interesting. Is that – that's that Montana Creek kind of valley. Is that mm-hmm, – is there any theories on a reason why birds might flow down into that valley?
Well, one of the things about the community garden is there are tons of vegetation there that doesn't grow here normally because we plant it on purpose.
Sure.
And so some birds that are passing through just go, oh, wow, look, there's my kind of food.
Yeah, right. Just tastes like home.
Yeah, and so they just stop in and stay.
Yeah, have a Tennessee squash or something. Yeah. Right. Okay, well, that's really interesting. Well, we've got another one here. What's another one of these? What's another interesting bird that maybe people might be hearing right now?
Well, the one that I wanted to talk about today was the red-winged blackbird.
Yeah.
We have a small colony that's been living here year-round for a few years, and there's just a few places where you can go and hear them call.
Now, this, I grew up in the Northeast, mm-hmm. and I remember hearing these usually around swamps. Is that right?
That's
reeds
correct.
And stuff like mm-hmm. that?
Yep. They really like those cattails back
the
east.
The cattails. That's right. And they would hang on those, and they're so beautiful with those big red spots under their wings, mm-hmm. just as their name implies.
Yes. And then when they're territorial, they puff them up really big so that you can really see the epaulets on their shoulders.
Now, is there any theory or reason why we would have – are they actually overwintering here?
Yes. So there's a small colony that does overwinter here.
And so any ideas about why that might be happening?
I think possibly it started with a person that was conscientiously feeding them all winter.
Uh-huh,
I see. But that person is no longer here. But they're still staying. And I've seen them in Yakutat even. So it's not like they aren't possible in mm-hmm. Alaska. They're just scarce.
Yeah. What's their kind of habits? What do they feed on and that sort of thing? Insects?
They like bugs.
Yeah.
And one of the things they love to do is catch a nice big dragonfly to feed the babies. But you know how big those wingspans
yeah,
are?
Right.
They knock those wings off. And then they could stuff it down the throat.
They're a cruel bird, but just to dragonflies.
Yes, just
well, let's listen to this. Is a classic sound, and anyone who grew up, what areas are they? Kind of all over the U.S.
Yes, all of North America.
Yeah, yeah. So anyone who kind of was by swamp areas, especially when they were a kid, or even recently in the U.S., will recognize this sound. Oh, I can smell the swamp.
Yes.
Right
yes.
now when I hear that sound, it's amazing, really.
And they are so territorial. That's the other story I wanted to share with you today, is the territorialness of them. I have seen, and now we have it documented, I sent a picture for the webpage, of a red-winged blackbird male defending his territory by flying straight up to go close to the back of an eagle that's flying over its nest area and landing on it and pecking the eagle.
While the eagle's flying.
Yes, it's incredible.
Wow.
And it took forever. No one would believe me, but it truly does happen, and yeah, now I have
right.
a picture.
Brenda thinks that she's seeing things again. You have photographic proof. Well, that is, I mean, you know, I it is true that you see them, you hear them call all the time. You know, one of the reasons you hear them is because they're, now do they have, are there other things that they do to, or that birds in the area do to kind of ward off predators?
Yeah, that's one of the things. I mean, these guys are not only highly visible, but they're calling frequently. And sometimes they have more than one female that has a nest in their particular territory. So if you have two males in the same pond area, they're going to be calling all the time, being really vocal, and keeping an eye on everything, including you.
So one male blackbird might have multiple nests?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Oh,
yeah,
interesting.
The female has one nest, but he might have multiple females.
And then is he helping
no,
get
he's
food
really
and
busy
like?
Doing the
he's
important
just,
defending stuff.
He's
I don't
just
know.
Defending. He's showing off.
that makes for a safe nest.
Yeah, makes for yeah safer environment. At least that's his story. Anyway, yeah. Well, so tell me a little bit more about any other kind of bird behavior people should be watching for right now. Are there other birds that are either passing through, or what's kind of the cycle happening right now?
Yeah, the cycle right now is actually the juveniles. And the birds that live with us the longest, song sparrows and the juncos, have definitely, where they were singing their little heads off again, so they're definitely in double nesting mode this year.
Did the favorable weather, sunny weather and all that play into that?
I'm sure it did, because the easier it is for you to get food for them, the easier it is for them to fledge. And if you zip them out of the nest, then they can start a new one.
Right, right. And it does seem, I think we were talking about this last time you were here, it does seem like a big bug year, too.
Yes, yes, it's an excellent year for getting high protein. Even for the hummingbirds need to have a little protein, so they love to catch some spiders and spray that into the mouth with a little bit of sugar water.
Yeah, I like that idea of hummingbirds catching spiders. I want to see that. Have you seen it ever?
No.
I think
we need somebody that would have a camera on forever to get to see those kind of fun things.
That would be amazing. And, yeah, it is fun to see the amazing activity of hummingbirds right now. And that's so cool that you pointed out that that's the fledged little. And is there a way to identify the new just born and just fledged hummingbirds?
Yeah, their colors definitely not going to be adult until next year. And so, but they have
and
some.
These are
kind
rufous hummingbirds,
yes,
here,
these are
right?
Rufous,
so they don't have that rufous color.
No,
yet?
But the females won't get much of that. But so they do have like splotches of different color besides the green back and the wings. So it's just. They've got all their feathers that they need to fly, but the coloration is going to change when they next time.
Are they smaller or are they the same size?
They're pretty much the same size. In fact, when they come out of the nest, have you ever seen a nest?
I've just seen pictures of a little tiny, looks like a thimble.
Yes, because the eggs are just incredibly small, like smaller than peas.
Yeah, amazing.
But the time that they're ready to fledge, they're as big as their mom for sure. And they're bulging out of the nest. They're going to have to start to fly or they're going to just fall.
Right.
But then they use up a lot of that energy that the mom has given them by flying and learning to fly. And so then they're super hungry and then they get all aggressive because they think they found the best flower in the world and it's only theirs.
Well, Brenda Wright with the Juneau Audubon Society, thanks so much for telling us a little bit about what's happening in the bird world this week. So fun to hear about that stuff. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay.